Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, with Josh Norman here at Redskins Park, and it was upstairs, I guess, about 10 days ago that it seemed like your guys' season changed in that DB room. Tell me how that idea came to be. And kind of what it was like is the initial reaction from teammates.
Yeah, first off, how did you even know that?
One of your teammates told me, and it wasn't anything that was not like in any kind of negative way. It was like it was with real, I would say, pride in one way, but also just like that love of like, yeah, no, this is something Jano did. It's something Jano wanted to do, and it was because he knew that this was the way that, you know, he was going to be able to get through to us that he needs us. So I would say it was overwhelmingly positive when I was told this story.
Gotcha. I'm sorry, I was coming from a mindset of, dang, everybody get everything around here. But no, it's seriously, when you look at it and the landscape of everything, dude, we are here 12 plus weeks. Lord wills, the playoffs comes around.
Right.
That what you saw cannot happen for 12 straight weeks. I don't care what it is. Nothing's going to change. Nobody's going anywhere. So it's like, fix the problem. There is a solution in this building. Guess what? You just got to sit down and think. Mm-hmm. That's it. Like, put your brain together. Sit down in a quiet room and just think. Be alone for a moment. And then when you think and you get it, what it is, come back and address, you know, come back and address your peers on what it is that we're going to do.
And that was just, it was just kind of being alone with your thoughts and then being able to express those thoughts. Because I think that was when I reported it, one of the most interesting responses, because I had said, like, Norman, who is typically quiet and reserved with teammates, people are like, wait, Josh Norman's quiet?
Exactly.
So, like, why was that always the way you were here?
Because people don't know me. Like, literally, you have no idea who I really am.
Right.
Like, you just see this whole facade that's on, like, the game time play and what the media or the outside perception wants you to see who a person is. But if you truly actually sat down and had a conversation with me face-to-face or just saw how I roll and interact, dude, I'm not, like, a person in your face. I'm not a person that is in your face doing all that 24/7, 365 that you see on the field. Like, that is not who I am. I'm more quiet, reserved, to myself, actually. I love to be at my house and go nowhere and do nothing because I'd be so tired during the day and everything that go on. And I have so much other stuff that's going on, but people don't know that either. Mm-hmm. So I just, you know, come in and keep to myself, kind of like go through the work like that as well. But when it's time to come together, I come together. But I don't really say much. I let other folks kind of like verbalize what they want to do now.
Was that how you – because I know in Carolina that you were real close to a lot of the guys down there.
Yeah.
When you think about the relationships that you had down there and maybe the relationships that you had here before last week, like, how different were they?
Oh, my gosh. Because those guys down in Carolina, they know me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I grew up in the system with those guys, so they know how I act, how I roll, and they knew if I was to myself, how to, you know, respond and act to me then when I was outgoing and, you know, got around. I mean, our group was just like, oh my gosh, this is Jano. We know how Jano is, but we're gonna love him up anyway, and we're gonna bring him in, and we're gonna all be together on the same page. Here, bit different, you know what I'm saying? I had veterans there, I had older guys there. There was, you know, the Roman Harpers, Kurt Coleman's, you know, the guys that were seniors in the room at that time. And, you know, I was coming in. I was the youthful one, you know, still, like, juiced up.
Right.
But then when I came here, it was different. It was really no vets like that that had that whole, like, you know, aura of which I came from. And then trying to fit in, and kind of like be a chameleon to the situation, because I don't come in and like put my foot down and be like, no, 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 this is how we're going to do things and this is how we're going to play it. No, I want everybody to work on a page to get together. And this year is just something to where I had, you know, we got nothing but young cats. Yeah, I mean, when you look at it, we only got one player that played 16 games, a full 16-game season.
Right.
Like, think about that.
That's not, oh, yeah, no. I, like, when I was writing the story, that was one of the things I did, was start to look, and, like, outside of Dunny and DeShazer, no one's been in that room longer than 2 years.
Nobody. So it's that turnover has been ridiculous to, like, sit up here and say, well, why isn't this? Why isn't – we get new people and new cats in every year, so it's hard to, like, mesh in jail with someone. They got the same kind of, you know – this person guy, they got an ego there, they got this, they got that, or, you know, the same type of mindset.
Just from a football standpoint, you got different skill sets that you're trying to match.
You do. The skill sets along with the personalities. Mm-hmm. That all goes into play, man. I mean, trying to build a group like that, come on, we already think we on top of the world when we back there anyway. But it's just a simple fact of, you know, everybody being on the same page, your communication was key. And we was missing the communication factor. We was not connecting. It was a short somewhere. And when I looked at it, I'm like, okay, I got young guys around me. Everybody is, like, when you outside of DJ, you look at it. Nobody has been playing in this league. Well, and you take Donnie as an exception. Nobody's been playing, really, no more than 3 years.
Mm. Right.
When you look at it. I mean, no. Right. I mean, it's 2 years, actually. You can even go to 2 years now.
Right.
Nobody. So, I mean, like I said earlier, you got one player that started all 16 games, and that's DJ in my whole group. So now I'm the seniority. I'm the senior to that. And now I got to lead that way. And when I went in there and I started thinking, like, okay, let me come down to a level in which they can understand me. Because before, I could do that, and I can get away with that because I had guys that knew how we roll. But these guys don't really know. They, you know what I'm saying? Coming from where I was coming from, it's totally different. Two different ends of the spectrum. Right.
Well, when you got here, especially that first year, you know, you had D-Hall as kind of the senior guy. And then you guys brought in Will Blackman real quickly that season.
Yeah, he did. He helped me out a whole lot, by the way. He did. I mean, just being able to communicate with him and then, you know, knowing how to do things. Because he kind of came from a system in which I came from in a way. And we kind of, like, knew how to play well with each other from that.
I know that you're a guy who does spend a lot of time, you know, with his own thoughts. I know you say people don't know you. I know, I've got to know you a little bit because I've been here the entire time you've been here.
Right.
And we've had those conversations. I know you're a guy that does a lot of thinking. And I can imagine a moment where you're having this thought with yourself, whether it was late Monday night or Tuesday morning after New Orleans before this meeting, like, I can't believe I didn't think of this before. How often did that feeling of, like, man, this is different and I feel like I need to do something about it happen to you before you actually went through with it?
Well, I had a lot of, how would I say this word? I had a lot of baptizing moments from people. Not people, but people I trust in the house, you know. And then, you know, I had to talk to a person, you know, Ryan Williams. I had to talk to my agent and be like, look, what's going on? And, you know, have you looked at it this way? Kind of. And I started to think, you know, the wheels started turning. And I was like, have it. But dang, when you say it like that, okay, I can understand now. You know, I get it. And I started to get where guys was at. Like, for me, I can play whatever. And I've been in a system to play that system. But if I'm playing with a guy who's younger and he feels comfortable with something, I give him the leeway. I give him the pass. Right. And I just play off of how he wants to do things.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I take myself out of the equation and put him into it, what you feel comfortable with. Because I can play, you know, either way. So that's, you know, working well with others and having that communication. And when I saw that, I was like, well, bingo. There you have it.
Right. One of the things in – you know, I'm going to be straight with you. Like, one of the things that I always heard is, like, in the meeting room, sometimes it looked like, even if you were focused, but it may have looked to an outsider like you're not paying attention or whatever. and, you know, with the younger guys, do you feel like you had to change anything, whether it's meeting room, weight room, whatever, about your demeanor, just to, even if like you were locked in, mm-hmm. to show them like, hey, if they look at me, I want them to see that I'm locked in, whether it's how you take notes or whatever it may be?
Well, you know, usually in a meeting room, I even did this in Carolina, I always, you know, went back in the back, kind of like, not back, but it was in one of the rows to where I just sat to myself and like watched the film and broke it down. And I saw what the coaches was having up on the board, and they was always, you know, engaged in a bit. And if a coach asked me a question, I kind of wouldn't say anything, but then I would like respond a little later mm-hmm. and say what it is. And I don't know if guys probably like took that as, okay, Jano, you know, he's doing it differently than everybody else is doing it. Mm-hmm. Because when I get on the field, I know what I'm doing. If I see something once or twice, I instantly remember it. It's like a little thing that I've seen so many times in combinations and route concepts that I just get. And if someone thinks that I'm not paying attention, it's not because I'm not paying attention. I already know what's going on. So I don't really have to spend that much time as some people would on those plays. And that's not no discredit to nobody. That's just how you learn. That's what
right. Everybody's I've been got different a pro learning styles.
In this league yeah. a while, and I know what's going on. It's just like riding a bike almost. But at the same time, what changed now from then is letting them know, hey, look, I'm here for whatever you need. I'm going to be in here and locked in, folks, where you all can see me. So now, you know, I don't go so much to myself to the back. Like, I'm up there in the middle in the thick of things, you know, talking, verbalizing. If coach asks me something, I'm giving it back to him. Now I'm on the film, still looking at the film, but I'm looking at it in a different position. I'm looking at it in a different way while I'm sitting beside Fabe and we going through if he asks me something or I'm asking something to somebody else. Mm. Knowing that I already know it, but I just want to ask it to him. Right. So therefore, he can be like, oh yeah, this is that. And I'm like, okay, cool. Well, I appreciate that. But right. it's just like
the well, that's the communication thing. It's not just on the field on Sundays. It's throughout the week to make sure that you guys really are on the same page. I know we gotta wrap up here. You got to go get to your lift. But I just want to ask you real quick, your relationship with DJ.
Uh-huh.
Because you guys have obviously known each other since back in the Greenwood days.
Yeah.
But like, what was your relationship like with him in high school, and what is it like now? Because he is a guy that obviously came in and immediately assumed a leadership role, and you guys seem to lead in different ways and mm-hmm. trying to mesh those leadership styles. So first, what was your relationship like? Just because you played in high school together yeah. doesn't mean that you guys were necessarily best friends. It's, you know, I think everyone wants to paint it that way. Yeah. So what was your relationship like with him back in high school, and how has it grown over the years?
You know, I know DJ back in high school, and I know his family and everybody. And the thing is, me and him, we was on. I think he was 2 years behind me.
Yeah.
And he was in 10th grade and I was in the 12th. And I, like, leaded, you know, the team to state championship. And he was the more of a showman then. You see DJ now, you ought to saw him back in high school. He's the same. Like, he was crazy. But, no, he was a showman then. And, you know, he was really good at what he did. And he was, you know, he wanted everybody to know that. And, you know, I led the group as seniors of that class. We led them to the state championship. And I was really vocal, mm-hmm. like vocal and everything on part of what you're supposed to do and how you did things back when we was in high school. He saw that. And I think I know what he, you know, we never anything. We was all on the same page. And as time went on, when I got here, I knew DJ throughout the years, even when he was in Arizona, mm-hmm. you know, we swap jerseys, we did so much stuff, like, and even through time we just had communication and kept up. And even when he decided to come here, we had a conversation, we talked. It's like, yeah man, come on. He was right. Like old, the whole wood of old, right? Mm. And that was all cool. And so we got here, and me and DJ, you know, he was really vocal and boisterous. Mm. And I was like, man, that's exactly what I needed. You know, right. to take my conversation or talking out. Here we go. Same place, same wood and everything. And we just kept going on with it. And for me, I kind of like sat back now in the shadows, where now it's like I'm the older guy, but I don't have to be that vocal guy anymore, because we have somebody who can very much be vocal for everybody. And when you see that, it's almost like, okay, you take a back seat to that. And I accept that role because it was what was needed for the entire group, I felt. Because, you know, you need somebody who's verbal that's out there. I mean, I'll be the one who shows that leadership by going out there and doing things and how you're supposed to go about it, which is cool. And we got with that, and we understood that, and we both had our, you know, differences at times. But who doesn't when you're in a family trying to work through problems? You're going to have that differences because one is going to go left. Everybody can't do that. You want everybody to. So then, you know, we got now to the point where we was having that conversation, everybody got together. And so I'm starting to more assume that role of, okay, here we are. We all on the same page, and let's find a way to make this thing work. So I'm getting more vocal because I used to just, you know, be back more so. But now, you know, the guys need me a little bit more, so I start to pep up. You know, I start to come up out of the shadows and start having that conversation. And it's crazy because when I was in college, I had the same mindset, vocal coming in. And then my freshman year, you know, I was still that way. And then a senior came to me and was like, what you doing all that talking for? You know, I'm supposed to come in doing all that. Just be quiet. And then, all right, you know, I'll be quiet. I kind of like, I'm a rookie. What else am I supposed to do? Right. You know what I'm saying? So that kind of like shunned me a bit. I kind of like went in my shell. And then I kind of got out of it to my senior year. And then I came back up to when I went to the pros. I was boisterous and all that. And then they shut me down when I got up there. So it was just like two times I've been shut down by people that was senior. It was like, you ain't did crap yet. Steve, I ain't did anything. Ain't got nothing to show for it. And I just went in a shell. So ever since then, I kind of like been in a, like a shadow mark. But nobody don't know that.
Right. Yeah. No, everyone just thinks, Josh Norman, quiet? Okay. I appreciate you talking for 15 minutes here.
I know, man. I had a lot to say.
Always, man. I appreciate you. Thank you.
I appreciate you, man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.